not when we pray, not when we fast. And yet we also have to understand that that's not to be our reason for doing anything that is righteous. And Jesus picks these three examples because they were common in His day. But there are many other things that this applies to. It applies to our reading the Bible, to having family worship, to memorizing Scripture, to coming to church, to fighting against sin, to keeping the Lord's Day, to writing notes of encouragement, to having people over for dinner, to serving on committees, to sharing the gospel, to leading Bible studies. And I think you get the point. We could go on and on and on. These things are all still included in Jesus' instruction here. And they are good things we should be doing. But why do we do them? You see, that is the point Jesus wants us to consider. And He's not saying don't practice righteousness. And as we'll see in a moment, He's not even saying don't practice righteousness before other people. That's not what He's saying. What He's saying is don't practice righteousness before other people to be seen by them. In other words, His focus is not on the activity, it's on our motivation for doing the activity. And so knowing that we are prone to be people pleasers, Jesus says, whatever we're doing when we're practicing righteousness, do not be like the hypocrites. We're not to be actors who dress up for the applause of men. Instead, as we see secondly on the outline, Jesus wants us to practice righteousness to please our Heavenly Father. To please our Heavenly Father. As I said earlier, in each of these examples, Jesus first tells us what not to do, as He has been doing in the Sermon on the Mount, and then He goes on to tell us what we should do instead. And so let's look at what He says about each of these things. Verses 3 and 4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. And so here Jesus goes on. Instead of giving to the poor so that people will see you and praise you for it, we are not to let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. In other words, when we give to the poor, do it secretly. And this is because, as He says in verse 4, the only one who needs to know that you're giving in the first place is your Father in heaven, and He sees what you do in secret. Then Jesus goes on in verse 6 to speak of praying. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Right? So again, instead of going out on the street corner and praying for everyone to hear you and to see you, Jesus says, no, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door behind you, and pray in secret. Because the only one who needs to know that you're praying is your Father who sees in secret. And then the third example, verses 17 to 18, I think you get the point and see where this is going. Jesus says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Don't make yourself look sad when you're fasting, but take a shower, put on clean clothes, look normal, act normal. Don't draw attention to the fact that you're fasting, because again, the only one who needs to know that you're fasting is your Father who sees in secret. Now, before we go on, we do need to clarify something. And that is, in each of these examples, Jesus is simply making a point. In other words, his words here are similar to his words earlier in chapter 5 when he said, you know, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, or if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. We said Jesus is not meaning for us to take that literally in a hyper-literal sense, but he's using those words to make a point. That is the exact same thing that he is doing here as well. To put it another way, he is not saying that we must only practice righteousness in secret. He's not saying that we can't allow others to know that we've given to the poor, or that our prayers are only to be offered in a small room with a door shut behind us, or that it's wrong if our wife or someone knows that we're fasting for the day. Because what does the rest of the New Testament say about all of these things? For instance, in the Gospels, we see Jesus practicing righteousness before other people. He healed the lame and gave sight to the blind in front of others. We even see examples of Jesus praying publicly and out loud for others to hear what he was saying. So that means it cannot be, Jesus is telling us, really, when you pray, only pray in secret and fast only in secret, because Jesus did not do these things only in secret. Jesus practiced righteousness before men. Instead, we have to remember that his point is what we saw earlier in verse 1, which is don't practice these things before men to be seen by them. And that's the issue here. It's not about what we're doing. It's not about when we're doing it. It's not about where we're doing it at the time or who's around us when we're doing it. It's about why we are doing it. As commentator Mark Ross says, it is mainly a matter of one's motive, not whether the deed is public or private. Because you see, you can give, you can pray, you can fast in secret without anyone else knowing that you're doing it, and yet you can still be doing it to please somebody else, such as yourself. That you can even pray in the privacy of your own room and yet do it to be noticed by other people, right? Such as your family. All right, kids, dad's going in the room to pray by himself with the door shut. And yet, you see, you can be doing that privately and taking Jesus' words here in a hyper-literal sense and yet still be doing it for the praise and for the applause of other people. Again, that's what Jesus is confronting here. It's not about being in secret necessarily. It's about why we do it. We're not to be like the hypocrites who do it for the wrong reasons. Commentator John Legge says, pray to God for his own sake, not to impress others. And that's why in verses 4, 6, and 18, Jesus says, when you do these things, do them to be seen by your Father, not by your fellow man. Because that's who we're to practice righteousness for. That's why we're to pray. That's why we're to fast. That's why we're to do all of these things. It's for the sake of God. And so as we practice righteousness today, we should check our motivation for doing so. And we should examine our hearts and ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I saying these nice words? Why am I memorizing these verses? Is it so that people will see me? Or is it so that people will think highly of me? Is it so that I will be praised? Or is it so that my Father, who wants me to do these things, will be pleased as he sees them happen? Of course, we can go crazy with self-examination and we have to take that within context, but it's good for us to ask this question. You see, this was Jesus' motivation when he practiced righteousness on earth. And so Jesus here is speaking from his own experience. Jesus did not do anything to be seen by men or to be praised by them, but he did everything from the beginning of his life to the end of his life for the praise of his Heavenly Father. As he said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is why Jesus did everything. And so it's because of that that he says to us, his disciples, we should do the same. Our motivation needs to be a God-centered motivation, not a man-centered one. Earlier this week, my family and I had some people over for dinner. And as Anne was getting the meal ready, I tried feebly to help her out a little bit. I started getting the glasses filled with water. I made sure we had some of the utensils on the table. And I think she appreciated that. But what if when she went to thank me, I said in response, oh, honey, I didn't do it for you. I did it to impress our guests. Right? What would that have made my service to her? They would have made it meaningless, right? All of the help she thought she was getting, it wasn't for her. It was for these other people. It was a show. That meant nothing to her. And you see, the same thing is true when we practice righteousness for other people. When we don't do it for God, what does it become to God? It becomes worthless. It becomes meaningless to him. And yet here Jesus says it shouldn't be that way. That our righteousness, in whatever form it takes, is to be done for him. That's to be our motivation. And why is that to be our motivation? Well, Jesus answers that question as well. And that is because our heavenly reward comes from God. It doesn't come from man. And that brings us to our third and final point on the outline. Let's go back now and look again at verse 1. Jesus says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So let's think about what is Jesus saying here. What he's saying is that when you practice righteousness for the praise of men rather than to please the Father, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. That's what he's saying. Now, hold on a second. Before we unpack that statement, what exactly is this reward that he's talking about? Well, what does the greater context say about a reward? For instance, if you go back to chapter 5, verse 12, we start to see this word being used in this sermon, where Jesus says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And as we saw at the time, the reward that Jesus is speaking of there is the same one that he had already just spoken of in the Beatitudes, specifically in chapter 5, verses 4 to 9, when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." As we saw at the time, well, all of those things have some kind of immediate fulfillment. Jesus is ultimately speaking here of our heavenly reward. He's speaking of our heavenly promised land, the new heavens, the new earth, the place that God has waiting for us in eternity. And so as Jesus speaks of a reward here in our passage, he's already done so in the greater context. And because of that, I think that's the reward that we are to understand him to be speaking of here in our passage. He's speaking of our heavenly reward. So with that being said, then going back to verse 1 of chapter 6, is Jesus saying that if we practice righteousness for the wrong reasons, we're going to lose that heavenly reward? Well, of course not. And I hope you understand that. Instead, what is Jesus doing here? He's doing what he's done many times already in the Sermon on the Mount, and that is he is saying, if you're my disciple, i.e., one who has a heavenly reward, then you need to live like it. That's what he's saying here. Because if your life is characterized by this scribal and Pharisaical hypocrisy, then you might be surprised on Judgment Day. That's what he's telling you. In fact, Jesus says, if all you do is practice righteousness for men, if that's all you do, if that's the only reason you do these things, then you will get your reward eventually, but it's not going to be your heavenly reward that you're expecting. As he says at the end of verses 2, 5, and 16, "Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward." Like the scribes and Pharisees, you'll get what you want when you practice righteousness for people. You'll get your applause, but if that's the only reason you do it, that's all you'll get. That's the only reward. Right? Whereas, if you're a disciple of Christ, you'll get a heavenly reward, one that far excels the praise of men. And so Jesus says here, live in light of that. Live in light of that. Live as one who has a heavenly reward by thanking the one who has given you your heavenly reward. And one of the great ways we can do that is exactly what he tells us to do here, which is practice righteousness for God. Because he gives you the gift of heaven. And as Jesus says in verses 3 and 4, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." Which is what Jesus says again in verse 4 and then in verses 17 to 18 as well. You're to practice righteousness, Jesus says, for the Father, not because it will merit for you a heavenly reward, of course it won't, but because he is the one who will give you the heavenly reward that's already yours in the end. You see, it's the Father who's reserving our heavenly inheritance for us. It's the Father who is preserving us to make sure that we make it to our heavenly inheritance. Peter says it beautifully in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Moreover, it's the Father who unconditionally elected you to be a recipient of this heavenly reward before you had done anything, either good or bad. And most of all, it's the Father who gave His only begotten Son to die in your place so that you could have this heavenly reward. And so it's in this light, Jesus says, that we're to practice righteousness, not as the people pleasers that we're prone to be, but as the God pleasers we have been redeemed to be. The ones who want to give thanks and praise to our God. And Paul says this in Colossians 3:22-24. He says, "Bondservants," and here we need to know that we all fit in that category, "obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." That's what Jesus is saying to us here in our passage. When Ann and I got back from our honeymoon, we spent some time at our parents' house opening all of our wedding gifts. And as we went through our wedding gifts, we not only opened the presents and enjoyed the things we were given, but we also had a pad of paper and we wrote out, okay, blender from so-and-so, toaster from so-and-so, because we knew it was going to be easy to forget who gave us this gift and who gave us this gift, and we wanted to be able to thank the right people for the right gifts. And in a similar way, we need to remember who is giving us our heavenly reward, because we don't want to thank the wrong person. We don't want to thank the wrong person. As Jesus says here, our heavenly reward is from the Father, and so we are called to give the Father thanks for that reward. And one of the ways we can do that is practicing righteousness for Him. And so, in light of what He says here, as we give to the poor, as we pray, as we fast, and all these things that we do, let us remember who's giving us the gift of heaven. It's not our boss. It's not our coworker. It's not the other people in the church. It's not even yourself. It's God, your Heavenly Father, which means it's to be for Him. It's to be for Him alone that we do righteous things in this world. Again, as Jesus puts it, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, but do them for your Father who will reward you in the end." Brothers and sisters, that's what Christ has done for you. And so this is what you are now able to do by His power and by His grace as His disciple. Since your heavenly reward is from God your Father, practice righteousness to please Him and not to please man. Let's pray and ask for His help. Our God in heaven, we do ask, Lord, that tonight you would help us as we go into this week and as we take up the calling that you've given us to be students of your word and to be witnessing for you and to be serving you in a variety of ways. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of our motivations. Lord, we confess that our motivations are often so selfish, and we ask for your forgiveness of that. We pray that you'd give us the motivations of Christ. As He lived in this world, He lived perfectly to do all things because He loved you and wanted to do your will. And so we ask tonight, Father, that you would sanctify us, that we would do things more and more with that Christ-like motivation and not nearly as much with this self-centered motivation that we're often prone to live by. So, Lord, we pray, give us your grace tonight and change our hearts, change our motives. Give us new ones. Give us godly ones, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.